Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Our final message in this series is the study of the fruit of temperance. Temperance grows where the stream flows. Here's Galatians chapter 5 with Pastor Paul Chapel.
Well, many problems in life are related to what the world would term self-control. And it seems that many struggle in the areas of discipline, and some in obvious areas, drug abuse, some in less obvious areas, their thought life. But oftentimes we would say it seems to be a problem of self-control. And tonight, as we face the Christmas time and then the opportunity of a brand new year, 2004, it would be wise for us as Christians to do a little more than simply write down goals. And I'm an advocate of writing down goals. And I've encouraged you a few weeks ago to really think about some goals for the new year. And I've been writing down some things I believe the Lord would have for me in my life and for our church. And I believe in writing down goals. And yet, to simply write them down and not be temperate and not be Spirit-filled and Spirit-empowered is really many times an exercise in futility. It's just another depressing act that we go through because we're writing down things that in our own power we're never going to see accomplished. And so it would be very wise tonight to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit in order that we might possess the strength needed to have that control of self that He brings into our lives in order that we might accomplish the goals we believe He is laying on our hearts. Now, I'm simply saying tonight that without Him, we can do nothing. I'm simply saying tonight that without the fullness of the Spirit, then we're going to write things down and have good intentions, but never see those come to fruition. Now, many people tonight are living lives that are somewhat out of control. And as someone who spends a lot of time with people every day, you see and you hear about difficult situations, and you become aware of the fact that some people who outwardly they just look like they've got it all under control, when you really talk to them in their heart, things are pretty messy. The things they think about, the escapist mentality they indulge in, the depressive thoughts that come upon them and sometimes rule over them, the pressures and the circumstances that people experience would indicate that really they are not as in control as they would like to think. And by the way, tonight, that's not such a bad thing if that brokenness and that awareness that you are not in control would bring you to the throne of Jesus Christ and cause you to ask Him to set things back in order. Sometimes becoming overwhelmed and acknowledging it is the first step to revival in your life. And the more we try to handle it our way, and the more we try to manipulate our way, and the more we try to blame someone else, whether it be a spouse or a job or the church even, the fact of the matter is we're not going to come to real victory in our lives until we say, Lord, my life is a mess. And there's some things in my heart or in my life that are out of control. And God, I need your Holy Spirit's filling so that I might be able to live this life according to your will. Some folks are overwhelmed with pressures, circumstances, thought life. Others are overwhelmed financially and struggling emotionally. In fact, the Bible says, and there will be many verses mentioned tonight, and jot as many of them down as you'd like. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Think of that. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And many times we see Christians and they love the Lord and they have the right doctrine, and yet their spirit is not in control and their emotions are not in control. They're living according to the flesh and according to the dictates of sin rather than according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul spoke of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. There's our word tonight. Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. I can't think of anything sadder than you leading someone to the Lord and 5 or 6 years down the road, you yourself are no longer in church, you yourself are no longer reading the Bible, no longer witnessing, and yet the person you led to the Lord is faithfully reading the Bible, faithfully going on for the Lord. And that's why Paul said, I've got to bring my body into subjection. I've got to be a temperate man in all things so that lest when I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. Listen, I believe parents, we ought to say, I don't want to just say something to my kids that I'm not doing 10 or 20 years from right now. And parents, I understand sometimes it seems like our own kids are more on fire than we are. And if God uses that to be a conviction from time to time, thank Him for godly kids. But let's not let that be the norm. We ought to say, I want to live my life so that my kids will see me still living this way. And I don't want to preach one thing and then become a castaway. And Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He was a temperate man. Now tonight I want to speak to you about this fruit, if you will, of temperance. You'll notice it again in Galatians 5:23. It says meekness and then the word temperance. And so three thoughts. First of all, let's look at temperance defined. Temperance defined. Let me give you a quick definition of temperance. It is defined, first of all, as self-control or discretion. Self-control or discretion. Someone that is temperate has self-control. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. A temperate person knows what is best and has the self-control to do what is best. There is good, better, and best. And a temperate person wants to do what God wants for their life, which is always best. A second way of defining the word temperate is to use the word discipline. Discipline. Paul said again there in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He was speaking here of the discipline of an athlete, like an Olympic medalist that gets up early every morning and lifts weights or runs the track. These are temperate people. These are disciplined people. And so Paul spoke of the necessity of being a disciplined person. Now you think about it. Every goal that you might have this new year without discipline is nothing. It could be a Bible reading goal. It could be a family time goal. It could be a witnessing goal. It could be a financial goal. It could be a weight loss goal. It could be any one of dozens, but without this spirit fruit of being temperate, then there will be no accomplishment of that goal. Now, we have heard a lot of silly philosophies from secular humanist counselors who would say that we don't need so much discipline. We just ought to be able to do whatever we want to do and question authority, so we're told. And we hear many today with that philosophy, some with that philosophy even regarding child rearing. There was a Cambridge professor named Coleridge who was once talking to a man, and he told this man that he felt it was important for children to be disciplined, not just spanked, but to be trained in the ways of what time to get up and how to be respectful and how to do their work at home and so forth. And the man said that he did not believe that at all. He said he believed that children should just be let go to themselves. They did not need religious instruction. They did not need God being crammed down their throats. They did not need to be told what to do at home. They were just be kind of let alone. And he said we should not do anything with a child's mind that would prejudice their direction. We should not do anything that would force them in a particular direction. And Professor Coleridge said nothing as he heard this man's philosophy. But as they ended their talk, he asked his visitor, he said, would you take a moment with me and walk down to the garden? And so the two of them walked outside the building and they walked out to a garden area. But really what it was just a pile of weeds growing over one over another. In fact, some weeds had overgrown entire trees, for this area where they viewed was not a tended garden at all. In fact, the visitor said to Professor Coleridge, he said, why, this is not a garden. This is nothing but a mess. There's nothing but weeds here. And Coleridge said, you see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself and to choose its own forms of production. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Christian or non-Christian, if we just express ourselves in our own way, you will have nothing but a mess in your marriage 6 months from right now. But if you choose to be disciplined by grace, if you choose to be temperate as the Holy Spirit, you see, contrary to popular teaching, the Holy Spirit doesn't just say, hey, just live loose and however you want to live. No, someone that's walking in the Spirit will be temperate in all things. There will be a discipline in their life. I'm reading a book right now called Discipline by Grace by Kent Hughes, a tremendous book on how the Holy Spirit nurtures and disciplines and brings discipline into our life. And the Holy Spirit of God wants us to have a disciplined life. And so temperance can be defined as a discipline. It can be defined as God's Holy Spirit bringing mastery over the flesh in your life. How many of you recognize that you need God's Holy Spirit to help you master your flesh? You see. And that's why we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in order that we might be temperate in all things, or disciplined. So temperance defined is that discipline that comes not from me saying, oh, I'm not going to eat that, or I'm not going to listen to that, or I'm not going to look at that, because I will fail in my flesh. But the Holy Spirit of God can bring a discipline that I could never have brought upon myself. Secondly, I want you to see tonight, temperance displayed. Now, temperance can be displayed in many different venues, but just a few tonight to show us how important temperance is. First of all, we can display temperance in a disciplined physical life. Paul did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. A person that is filled with the Holy Spirit will have a discipline, will have a power of God to say no to certain things, to say yes to other things, and physically. I was talking with some folks today. We had a wonderful lunch today with some of members of our church, and he was telling me about it, his diet he's been on. I've been kind of watching that. And he said, you know, my wife told me when I started, I ought to make it a matter of prayer as well. And I said, that was a good bit of advice you received. You ought to ask for God's help in that area, because he will bring a temperance. He will bring a disciplined physical life. Up in Canada years ago, in fact, 1909, there was a man by the name of Sandy McIntyre who found what has become the famous McIntyre gold mine. In fact, from that single gold mine, there were $230 million of gold ore extracted from that one mine, the Sandy McIntyre mine in northern Ontario, Canada. The amazing story about the McIntyre mine was that just days after discovering the vein of gold, McIntyre was in town in the gold mining town nearby, and he had the deed to his claim that he had claimed on the mine, and yet he was longing for a drink of alcohol, And a man said, hey, I'll give you $25 for that piece of paper in your hand. And McIntyre said, all right, and he signed the deed over for $25. He traded $230 million for a few drops of alcohol. You say, that's ridiculous. No, that's how powerful the flesh can be. That's how strong the flesh can be. And there have been times, whether it's alcohol or lust or hatred, when men and women have done things that are indescribable and unthinkable because they are controlled by the flesh rather than the spirit. And so temperance displayed, it can be displayed in the physical life. Secondly, I believe not only a disciplined physical life, but a disciplined speech. I believe that as Christians who are disciplined by grace and filled with the Spirit, then there will be things that we will say and things that we will refrain from saying. And I want you to think of this. There's four areas that I believe as Christians we need to resist in the realm of speech. I'll mention them quickly. First of all is lying. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, put away lying. And to me it is irreconcilable to think of someone that is saying they are filled with the Spirit while at the same time lying forth from their mouth. You see, the fact of the matter is that a temperate person will have control in that area. Secondly is the area of foul communication. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Maybe in this past year there's been some times where you got ticked off and whoo, out came some foul language. My friend, when that is happening in the life of a Christian, it's not because they are yielded at that particular moment to the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be temperate physically, yes, and temperate in what we say, that we would not say foul language. I think thirdly, a third area to resist is the area of insults. Proverbs 16 says we're to be slow to anger. You ever get around someone that's sarcastic and constantly cutting in their remarks? This would be a person that needs to become temperate in their speech. They need to control what they're saying. Now, how many of you, just be honest about it, how many of you have ever just opened your mouth and inserted your entire shoe at one time? Anybody, or am I the only one? Boy, from time to time, you just say, oh, I can't believe I just said that. And I've had some times like that. I remember as an assistant pastor years ago, just trying to be friendly to folks, and I have no idea why I said to a particular lady, when are you due? You guessed it. She wasn't. Oh, how I wish I could have taken that back. I remember a family coming up to me, and they were, in fact, I think he may have been a deacon in the church, I can't remember, but he was not in our church, another church, and he came up to me and he said, you know, church just isn't very friendly anymore. By the way, always be careful when you say that. Because when you do, point the finger, there's always three coming back. He said, church isn't very friendly anymore. And I said, well, I'm sorry you're feeling that way about your church. I said, yeah, just... And he said, take those people right over there. See them? And I looked over, and there's this man and this woman. They're kind of looking this direction. We're looking this direction. He said, why, those people right there, they've been members here a long time. They have never one time even talked to us. They've never even looked at us. And I happen to know the people he was pointing at. This man I was talking to, we'll call his name Norbert. That was not his name. It just happens to be handy on my mind right now. I said, "Brother Norbert, could I just tell you something about those people over there? They're blind." I mean, when you get all worked up about something, whatever the something is, like no one's friendly, all of a sudden, no one's friendly. I mean, people that could not have seen him if they wanted to. He was upset with him. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Remember that song in Sunday school? Remember that one? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Remember that one? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Why? For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. And here's four areas: lying, foul language, insults. And here's a fourth area: slander. Slander. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The slanderer is foolish." Now, what I'm saying is that when someone is temperate, they're not going to shoot off. Listen, there's thousands of things that you say, "Well, I just happen to know," and you may know, and they may be true. But a temperate man knows what should be said and what shouldn't be said. And that's what we're talking about, because temperance is discipline, and we need to be disciplined in our physical life. We need to be disciplined in the life of our speech, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why spiritual people are not known for running off at the mouth. And they use their speech for that which is good, Ephesians 4, to the use of edifying or building someone up. In other words, their motto is this: if I don't have anything good to say, I'm not going to say it. Some of you say, "Man, I wish I could be like that." You can be in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was driving down in the car the other day, and I got on the phone, and I called a pastor, and he had, I forget the exact situation now, but he had misconstrued something about our college. And so I didn't really keep track of what all I was saying. My wife was in the car with me. I just said, "Brother, you're right. Oh, brother, I'm sorry. Brother, I can't believe. I'm sorry." And I said things to him like, "Listen, will you forgive me for that? And would you help us next time if you feel this way, and let me know, and I'll try to make it." Man, I did everything I could, and I was just talking to him and trying to be nice to him. And the fact was, he had his record so incorrect. I hung up the phone. I called a florist we do business with. I said, "Would you send that pastor a floral arrangement, 'Merry Christmas' from Pastor and Mrs. Chapel?" My wife said, "Man, you were so nice to that guy. Listen, I could have drove him into the ground. I could have proved my point. But someone help me. What would that have done any good for?" You see, there's just some times when to be temperate and to be disciplined, temperate displayed, physical life. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you think, "I could use some temperance physically in the new year"? All right, go ahead, Brother Rasmussen. You can raise your hand, but everyone else doesn't. I'll raise mine with you. In the physical realm, and then in the area of our speech, all of us need temperance in that area.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled "Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows." Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now, in the privacy of your own heart, to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chappell and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chappell's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chappell. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.